Now, she has two children, a terrifyingly large mortgage, and no idea who she has become or why she and her husband can't even be in the same room anymore. With life as she knew it in tatters around her, Amy is heartbroken and in no way pulling off consciously uncoupling like a celeb. But she's starting to wonder if she just might come out the other side and be happier. For Alan, Elise, Sienna, Tom, Laura, Soppy and Ducky, the whole lot of you. Prologue. Summer 2010.
Will you, Amelia, take Lars to be your partner for life, to have and to hold until death do you part?
I caught a wicked gleam in my nearly husband's pale blue eyes. When we'd been writing our vows, we'd changed that line to shag and to hold. We'd practiced this there and then and had to come back to the vow writing later. Much later. I will, I said, snapping back to the present.
Not yet,
whispered the registrar.
There's still a bit more to go.
Lars started to laugh, and there was a smattering of giggles from the small crowd in the register office in Chelsea, most loudly from Liv, my best friend and now best woman. She was going to tease me about screwing up the service until death parted us, too. I whispered,
"Will you promise to talk to him, to care for him, and to work towards your dreams together?"
The registrar continued.
"For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, forsaking all others for the rest of your lives?"
"I will," I said, this time at the right point. "Always." The registrar went on to repeat the same vows for Lars, who said in perfect English with just a hint of his sing-song Swedish accent,
"I will. Always."
The registrar pronounced us husband and wife, and a rowdy cheer rose from our family and friends. Lars and I snogged a little more voraciously than was normal in a marriage ceremony, and Liv whispered, "Get a bloody room!" Dad and Mum came forward and hugged us both in turn.
"Bloody great!"
said Dad in my ear, his hair, despite his best efforts, standing up from his head as if he'd just had one hell of an electric shock.
"Now, marriage can be tough, but you stick together through thick and thin."
"Absolutely lovely,"
Mum wiped tears from her eyes with an actual cloth hanky. Lars's widowed mother Ulrika stood beside them, as tall and thin as her son. She hugged me and said,
"I will be with you, Ami, when the winds blow warm and when they blow icily."
She had a bit of a Nordic turn of phrase sometimes. Lars and I went to sign the register, followed by Liv and Lars's best friend, Torstein. He was like a Viking Ed Sheeran with a bright ginger beard and hair. "Fuck me. Imagine being married," said Liv, who didn't do commitment. "Seriously grown up." But I didn't feel grown up. I felt full of hope about growing up and old with him. I gripped Lars's hand as everyone threw pale pink rose petals at us on the steps in the King's Road. Even Liv was moved as she fussed around straightening my white vintage baby doll dress, chosen in homage to the 60s and 70s stars who'd married here before us. We laughed and kissed as the photographer's camera clicked. There were 30 of us at the Bluebird for a raucous lunch, which was way swankier than anywhere any of our friends usually went, but was on my dad. Tor made a speech where the central premise was...